Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time. We'll get to your comments here in the stream. Hail Varsity Radio, powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Can find and follow, like and subscribe the Hail Varsity YouTube channel, Hail Varsity Radio, Twitter at HVarsity Radio. Tim Verghese with us in the stream at Tim Verghese. Follow him on Twitter, Nebraska Rivals. Tim, good to spend some time. Thanks for a few minutes. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about y'all? I know it's been a wild weekend.
It has been. We're kind of trying to do that whole balancing the scales of justice thing with hype versus reality. And it was fun to see Nebraska's offense look that clean and crisp. And I want to get your take before we dive into the double-digit visitors. You've had a chance to catch up with some high-profile dudes. And what's cool is you saw a lot of formerly high-profile guys really show out and shine. Played pretty well on Saturday, but overall, your takeaway, man, you've seen a lot of spring games, you've seen different programs, you've seen Nebraska as well, and what did Saturday show you?
I think the main takeaway is just the offense and, again, trying to manage expectations here, of course, but, I mean, I had multiple coaches text me after the game or after watching and being like, man, Dylan looks completely in control of the offense. Like, in the moment you're watching it and it's clear one guy just has a different feel of the offense than the other two quarterbacks. But when I'm seeing like quarterback coaches down in Texas, out in California, just coaches texting me and being like, man, Dylan doesn't look like a freshman. Like, this guy, this looks like a guy that's, you know, had a lot more time in the offense than just one spring. Like, there's a lot that was happening with him that I really took away and was really impressed with. You know, we touched on it immediately after the game on our show, but just some of the creativity off script, you know, like one play in particular, he's kind of directing traffic downfield as he's rolling out to his right, the play's broken down and he, you know, just finds the, I think it was a tight end, just found the tight end and connected on a short pass there. It just really impressive stuff from him. Obviously the main takeaway, Barney, having the day he had, that left an impression on a lot of recruits, just showing them that, hey, these freshmen can come up to Nebraska and they're getting developed and they're playing. You know, it's guys that played against Barney even last year that are like, that wasn't the same player we played against a couple months ago. You know, just the development they're seeing in these short few months these guys have been on campus.
Tim Verghese with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, Nebraska Rivals at Tim Verghese on Twitter. So let's get into some of the visitors and why not stick with the quarterback theme. TJ Lateef, stud out of California. What is his feedback? What's the latest and ascent once that as well in the stream? So what's the word on Lateef? What do you think of the visit?
Yeah, so I haven't been able to connect with him individually post-visit. I've talked to some sources close to him and then talked to just people around the building. Nebraska made a positive impression. I think the big thing for him is he scheduled this OV way back in January. Like, as soon as Nebraska offered, pretty much he had this scheduled and was ready to come out here. Nebraska, the main things he's been looking for is just progression from the offense. He's got a good relationship with Glenn Thomas. He's got a good relationship with Marcus Satterfield. And he looked comfortable, you know, on the sideline on Saturday. He is one of those guys that is solely just looking for development, isn't really looking for like an NIL bag, isn't really looking for, you know, a specific situation or anything. He's been high on Nebraska's offense. Like, it feels like a pro style system for him that he thinks can prepare him best for the league. And, you know, he wants to play. That's, I think, one thing that's going to potentially work against Nebraska here is he wants to play somewhat early. And obviously, you know, that path to playing time seems limited now. Kind of foregone, but obviously seems like, you know, at least the next 2-3 years it's going to be Dylan. But right now there's just not a program I'm hearing that's close to Nebraska for TJ. Like, it's just it's Nebraska and then it's everybody else. Like, and that's what, there's not a singular program that's coming up outside of Nebraska at the top for him.
It's Tim Vergese with us here talking some recruiting. We just got this scoop on TJ Lateef, 4-star quarterback out of California. And Tim, a lot of social media chatter about Michael Terry and his visit within the past 24 hours. Apparently, he left very impressed with Nebraska. What are you hearing on that recruitment? It's a guy that might have a path to the field pretty early should he choose Nebraska.
Yeah, that's a guy that would have a path to playing time pretty early. Would probably be like a day one starter type, just off of the athleticism and, you know, his size, speed, and strength combo. He had a good visit. Just made it back down yesterday. We texted a little bit yesterday. We're gonna get him on the phone today. I actually got a text from a source close to him this weekend. I said it on our board when I first joined Inside Nebraska, coming from Texas, based on everything I gathered on Terry, Texas is seen kind of as a school to beat because he was born and raised a Texas fan, you know, growing up in San Antonio, right outside Austin. Texas has long been seen as a school to beat for him. Texas Tech in the state and Texas A&M have good relationships there. They're both, you know, still working. But pretty much what I've been told is if he leaves the state, it's going to be Nebraska. But the tough thing is going to be getting him out of the state and getting him away from the Longhorns. What's changed in the last couple of weeks or so is Texas doesn't really views Terry as an athlete, and specifically an athlete on the defensive side of the ball. And Terry, as he's gone through this process, he's starting to realize he kind of wants to be a wide receiver at the next level. He wants to stick on the offensive side of the ball. So with Texas being like, hey, you know, we want you to play defense, it has the Longhorns fading a bit. It favors Nebraska. Ultimately, you know, it's still going to be A&M's like pushing hard now, and A&M's going to be using their NIL resources and, you know, this new coaching staff to try and promote, hey, we have, you know, you can still stick close to home. You can still, you know, play, put on for your home state, just maybe not for the Longhorns, but for the Aggies. So the A&M's now become a school to watch. Oregon's another program. It's kind of working there. Texas Tech has good relationships. I just don't think those compared to, like, you know, Texas Tech for him is pretty much the same distance as Nebraska, where we're at this point for him specifically. And where we're at for him at this point is, you know, if he leaves the state, kind of feels like it's going to be Nebraska. At this point, the timeline is just, he's one of those kids that this could go all the way to the fall. This could go all the way to signing day. It's going to be one of those recruitments, but Nebraska made a big impression there. And he's the number one wide receiver target on the board right now.
Tim Vergese with us inside Nebraska, Nebraska Rivals. Follow Tim at Tim Vergese. An edge player, Dawson Merritt, Kansas City region, 500-mile radius for Nebraska. A beast off the edge, a nightmare for quarterbacks. And Nebraska had him on campus. Is it fair to say Nebraska was able to close the gap with Bama in this race for him?
Oh, yeah. This was needed. You know, Nebraska needed to get him back on campus this weekend to close that gap a little bit. And it feels neck and neck at this point. Okay. Between Bama and Nebraska. It's right here. Oklahoma's still in there. Oklahoma's still going to continue to push. But, I mean, me and him got on the phone just 2 weeks ago when he was previously up in Nebraska, and he mentioned then itself that Oklahoma – there's good relationships there, but they don't communicate with him to the level that Nebraska and Alabama do. And, you know, as we're getting to this, he's made it clear he's trying to get this thing done sooner rather than later. You know, he's got two more official visits scheduled for June. He's got Bama June 7th and Oklahoma June 21st. At this point, I'll be honest, I don't know if those visits happen. He moved this Nebraska visit up to get a look at Nebraska. He's had two visits to Nebraska this month and two visits to Bama this month. It's kind of coming down to those two. I think we see something out of there sooner rather than later. But I don't think it's a done deal by any means. I don't think one school or the other feels great right now. You know, it's one of those, both programs are still going to be texting and calling, working on him, trying to pull, you know, Bama's got, you know, just the legacy, he's got good relationships with that staff. I think something a lot of people don't know, Washington, when Kalen DeBoer was there, was his third or fourth offer. You know, it was one of the first schools to offer him. So those relationships go like a lot longer than people realize, even though technically Alabama is the most recent program to have offered him. The relationship he has with that staff dates back, you know, at least a year at this point. So there's strong relationships there. I've seen some people make something of the distance there. You know, his dad is the Kansas City Chiefs defensive backs coach, you know, where, you know, Nebraska's driving distance, Bama's a bit further away. I don't necessarily think that's going to be a factor here. He's looking for a fit. He's looking for relationships. And I'll say this much about that. Relationships are the biggest thing for him. And, you know, he said it himself. There's nowhere he has more relationships with people than Nebraska. He knows a lot of people in the Nebraska building at this point, from players to coaches to off-field personnel. That's what's working in Nebraska's favor right now.
Tim, before we get you out of here, Nebraska picked up commitments from Turch and Tinney at the end of last week. Any guys that were in town this weekend that we haven't already discussed that you think maybe we should put on commitment watch, whether it's Nebraska or another school in the next week or couple of weeks?
I don't know if there's anyone imminent. I think a lot of these guys are, you know, the 25 specifically are planning summer OVs and still hoping to play that process out a little bit. And are trying to play that process out a little bit. And sorry, just got a...
No, the bat phone's going off. It's all good.
Yeah. but I'm not expecting anything imminent from this weekend. Again, like I said, a lot of these guys...
You weren't.
These 25s do have some visits planned. I think one to keep an eye on, you know, going into the weekend... I kind of had an eye on Pierce Mewberry, local athlete target from Millard North. You know, he's been talking to Nebraska. He's been talking to Kansas State and Minnesota. And he told me earlier this month, he's in the process of setting up official visits to all three. As of last night, he told me only the Nebraska visit set up. And he is pretty much unclear on whether those other two get set up at this point. So I think that's one where Nebraska could be closing in there.
Tim, I need 2 minutes on the other side of this break, if you can give it to us.
I'm not sure if this is what the text was about, but Chief Borders is into the transfer portal, so we're going to
get that. That was the text, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So
you had an oh-you-know-what look on your face for just a second, and I was wondering, like, is that a lady texting him? Is that someone in the portal? Is that some breaking news?
It's football news. So, Tim, hang tight. We'll talk Chief. Hang tight. We'll get your take on Cortez Mills. And then we'll let you get out. But hang on a minute for us, if you could. Appreciate it. Tim Vergese, Inside Nebraska, Nebraska Rivals, with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Good stuff from Tim. And so we'll continue a couple of minutes. We'll have some reaction to Chief in the portal. And a lot of praise for him this spring. But you've got a loaded jack position. Tim Vergese continues with us. It's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We'll hear some thoughts from Matt Rhule here before the end of the hour. Coach McBride up at 5, and then Jay Moore in the Black Shirt Hour at 5:25. Tim Vergese with us, Inside Nebraska, Nebraska Rivals, at Tim Vergese. Before we react here to Chief Borders in the portal, Tim, a thought on Cortez Mills, another top 100 wideout that got to see Lincoln.
Yeah, Cortez caught up with him earlier today. Yesterday had a bit of a travel day, but caught up with him this morning. Posted that story at Inside Nebraska. You can go ahead and read it over there. Yeah, again, this is another one just like Dawson Merritt, who we talked about before the break. Nebraska really needed this visit, and this was another one that was somewhat rescheduled to. You know, he pretty much flipped this visit and Oklahoma. He was at Oklahoma earlier this month. And then after that, scheduled a Oklahoma OV for June 14th, and then moved the Nebraska OV up for the spring game. And yeah, like I said, Nebraska needed this one to just get right back in that mix. It kind of felt like the Huskers were fading a little bit out of his mind. You know, local Miami and Clemson and obviously Oklahoma, those three had really started, you know, putting the pressure on him over the last couple of months and had started a surge. You know, there was a point in this recruitment earlier this year where I felt like Nebraska was the school to beat, and that earlier this month wasn't the case. now it's you know, kind of back to Nebraska has staying power now. You know, Nebraska's right in that top four group, right in that mix. The biggest things for him, you know, he told me the biggest thing that surprised him was just how well Nebraska threw the ball deep. He knew about Dylan's talent as a quarterback, and he's well aware of Dylan. Now, I mentioned it in the story, but just to get an idea of how involved Dylan is on the recruiting side of things, Dylan is talking to Cortez every single day. Cortez told me he gets a FaceTime or a text or a phone call from Dylan at least once a day. And that's just been the case for a couple of weeks now, and that's going to be the case. Dylan's working hard there. Dylan's pretty much spent the whole weekend with him and was also the host for Dawson Merritt. You know, clearly those two guys and Michael Terry are like the three most important visitors from the weekend. But Cortez really enjoyed his time up here in Lincoln. You know, he said the first visit he was on was in January, pretty much the first time he ever experienced sub-zero temperatures. And the second time he was in town, he saw his first tornado. But, you know, ultimately, he was like, weather's not really a factor for him, you know, where he's from, you know, there's hurricanes down there. If he goes to Clemson, there'll be hurricanes over there. Oklahoma's in Tornado Alley as well. So, you know, weather's not something that's a real factor in his recruitment. And he even said, he's, you know, if I want to make it to the league, I got to get ready for the cold anyway. So, you know, cold weather's not a factor there either. But yeah, you know, the biggest things I think coming out of that visit were, you know, just that relationship with Dylan. I didn't even until talking to him, I didn't realize the relationship was that strong. And then the second thing, he was just really impressed with the coaching staff. And I think the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for, and the off-field staff for what they did this weekend. You know, there was a lot happening between the NFL draft, the spring game, the tornadoes. You know, there's just a lot of people to take care of. There were 80 plus visitors in town. You know, there's just a lot of things going on, but Cortez was like, you know, they made it feel like my family was on the visit too. My family felt like a priority just as much as I did. You know, that was the reaction from multiple recruits, multiple visitors. And then on top of that, you think about the fact that this staff was also reaching out to families of current players and families of recruits, checking in on them after the tornadoes, making sure they were okay. They were just all hands on deck this weekend. And they just knocked it out of the park to the point that, like, pretty much everyone I've talked to is left really, really impressed with the culture and the atmosphere, and then just the trust that they're going to be taken care of if they come to Nebraska.
Tim, before we get you out of here, we have a couple of minutes. Your reaction, Chief Borders, into the portal for Nebraska, a guy that, by all accounts, had a strong spring, but a guy that also was probably expected to be a rotational piece for this Husker defense as opposed to a guy that was maybe on top of the depth chart.
Yeah, you know, coming into the spring, I told our Steve Merrick, you know, I think two guys in the linebacker room that is kind of quote-unquote do or die time for is Chief Borders and MJ Sherman. This is pretty much the last kind of year of eligibility for both those guys. And Chief, you know, Rule had said it himself, was probably the most impressive had the biggest improvement this spring, I think is the way he put it, most improved player this spring. But yeah, like you said, probably was expected to be a rotational guy. As far as what this means for 24, probably just more snaps for Vincent Shavers. You know, that's probably the biggest thing that my initial takeaway is this probably says about the efforts of, you know, Dylan Rogers was one that kept getting brought up in the linebacker room this spring. Vincent Shavers, of course. As far as Chief, why he's doing this after the praise and everything, you know, it may just be a, hey, there's a starting opportunity for me somewhere else, where I'm not part of the rotation, I'll actually have a chance to be on the field, you know, 80, 90% of the defensive snaps all season.
Tim, well, good caught up again. Great work, and thanks for the update today with recruiting, and I always appreciate you jumping on with us.
Of course, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.